Coming today on Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast.
And they can cause problems, not just in the process, which of course they can cause a lot of problems in the process, which makes it worse for you, harder to settle, more expensive, all of that. But also, you know, from your own peace of mind point of view, sometimes third parties make it harder for you to move on, harder for you to start that new life. And it's not just new significant others. It's also issues with stepchildren, adult stepchildren, young stepchildren. There's so many different aspects of this, but I just wanted to make the point that it's not just the physical moving on, but it's also the emotional moving on that can be impeded with too much third-party interference.
Welcome to Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast with Rebecca Zung and Susan Guthrie.
This is the place to hear other people's stories, to learn from the top experts in every related field, to also have some fun, laugh, and hang with two divorce attorney girlfriends who are also top family law litigators.
Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve family law matters peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert Scott Picard at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free meditation.
And now we invite you to listen to today's show.
It's going to inspire you to transform and break free.
Welcome to today's podcast. Our topic today is exes and steps, how to deal with third-party interference in divorce. I'm Susan Guthrie.
And I'm Rebecca Zung. As divorce attorneys, we often have seen and had to deal with third-party interference from ex-spouses from the attorney's side. It can happen as well as not just with exes, but also with steps, stepchildren, step parents, stepfathers, stepmothers, and
friends,
actually, Susan,
family.
Yeah, and Susan, you and I have actually had, both of us have had personal experience with steps. My husband has been a stepdad to my children. You've been a stepmom to three, to triplets.
Yeah,
for a long time.
My step triplets.
Yes. And you know, and my parents were divorced, so I had to deal with new spouses and people in my own parents' lives as well. And there's several aspects of this topic today that I wanted to, that we're going to kind of touch on, and that is parenting issues, new significant others, mediation, adult steps, young children steps, listening to outsiders in general, dealing with exes during divorce, dealing with exes after divorce. So there's a lot of areas that we're going to be able to touch on with this.
Yeah, you know, I think it's an interesting thing with third parties or with other people, because divorce is such a personal experience for the two people going through it. It's different experience for everyone going through it. And often the third parties in your life are your support system. So they can actually be helpful. You know, they are the people that you can go to lean on. But unfortunately, they often, and really this is something that Rebecca and I have seen over and over again as for our clients, they can often, you know, cause problems in the divorce process. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more and how you can learn to identify these issues and deal with them as you're going along through your own process. So
yeah, and they can cause problems not just in the process, which it, of course, they can cause a lot of problems in the process, which makes it worse for you, harder to settle, more expensive, all of that. But also, you know, from your own peace of mind point of view, sometimes third parties make it harder for you to move on, harder for you to start that new life. And it's not just new significant others. It's also issues with stepchildren, adult stepchildren, young stepchildren. There's so many different aspects of this, but I just wanted to make the point that it's not just the physical moving on, but it's also the emotional moving on that can be impeded with too much third-party interference.
Yeah, and it's really on both sides of the fence. I know, you know, I went through my own divorce. We did not have children. Of course, every divorce has its own complications, but when you don't have kids, there's a, in some ways, at least one level less of stress or difficulty. But then, several years after my divorce, I became involved with my current husband. He was just finalizing his divorce, and he had young, they were 5 years old about at the time, triplets. And, you know, that became, that had a lot to do with how we processed our relationship, how I moved on into this new, very significant relationship, because a lot of it was governed by how the children were dealing with this new relationship in their dad's life, and in some ways, how their mom was dealing with it. Because, you know, as Rebecca just said, everybody, you know, has to move on. And sometimes, you know, it can be difficult when your ex moves on and now your children are meeting this new person and they're getting involved in that, in their lives, and you don't have a lot of control over that. So for me, it was an interesting experience as a divorce attorney to be involved with someone who had children and moving in as a, you know, at the time I was a girlfriend. I didn't become their stepmom for a few years. But I've seen that over and over again from my clients as well, that, you know, that period of time where even the divorce may be finalized, but you're still a family with children, yet both of you are going to move on in your lives. And I know you had that experience somewhat yourself, Rebecca.
Yeah, I mean, my ex-husband was a very involved dad with my children. My children were 8, 9, and 10 when I started dating my husband. And so my husband had, and my husband was an only child, by the way, and he'd never even lived with somebody else before. So all of a sudden, he had all these people in his space. And he brought, you know, a dog. So I had to deal with the dog. But, you know, to and he knew what he was getting himself into. And for the record, by the way, I rebuffed his asking me out for like 3 months, because I'm like, no, I've got three kids. You need to find somebody who doesn't have kids. But, you know, he knew what he was getting into. But knowing intellectually and then actually having all these people in your space is a whole different thing. And he always felt, when his mom remarried when he was about 10 or 12, that his, you know, he felt like his stepdad was trying to take his dad's place, and he kind of resented his dad for that. So he really didn't want to do that with my kids. And so it sort of, I think step parents who come into situations like that, and I don't know if this is how you felt, Susan, they're not quite sure what their role is, because they're not the parent, but they're not a friend. And, right. You know, like, he wasn't sure if he should discipline them. So he would tell me, you know, oh, Danielle left her backpack and her stuff in the living room. It's a mess. Can you tell her to clean it up or whatever? And I'd be like, well, why don't you tell her to clean it up? And he'd be like, well, I don't know if I should tell her that, you know. So it was kind of, it's a difficult situation sometimes for steps to get to step into those roles. I don't know if that was your experience too.
That actually, that resonates, because that's exactly what they experienced. So I can feel, you know, for John there, because you're 100% correct, at least in my experience, is you are not a parent. We actually were in the situation where David, my current husband, moved in after a year or so of our dating. So when the kids, it was his parenting time, the kids were in our home. And, you know, we had exactly that situation where I wasn't their friend. They were now, you know, I was helping get them to school, help them with homework, doing all kinds of, you know, pseudo parenting type of things, cooking, cleaning, keeping them, you know, happy and well fed and, you know, tending to their needs. But when an issue came up, it made it difficult because disciplining as a step parent is tough. You know, that phrase, you're not my mom. I don't know if I ever actually heard it, but it's true. You know, I'm not their mom. They have a mom, they have a dad, and the role of their parents was to co-parent them. So it is, I can completely understand John's position. I found it to be a bit of a tightrope to learn to walk on. I mean, we're many, many years at 16 or 17 years later now, and we have all settled into our roles. I always have likened my position to the benevolent aunt. I'm there to help them, and I think my stepkids know that I'm always here if they need something, but that, you know, when they have an issue that's appropriate for their mom and dad, they go to their mom and dad. And I think that's, you know, the right thing for them. And it's worked for us, but definitely a tightrope to walk there.
Yeah. In my situation, once I had my husband and I, you know, we've been together for 21 years. We've been married for 18 at this point. So we've been together a long time. And so we've all settled in, as you have, into a comfortable place, and everybody is happy and gets along and loves each other. But having my daughter, so my husband and I have a 16-year-old together, and that kind of helped. I remember a friend of mine when I was pregnant with her saying, she's going to bring you all together because she's the only one who's blood related to all of you. And that actually really struck me. I had never thought about that, but that's true, you know? And right. So that definitely helped. It helped also because my husband didn't really fully understand how I felt about my children until he had one of his own. And I think that really made a difference too for him. So it doesn't, you know, it's always a challenge. I mean, it's still sometimes a challenge, you know, not the same kind of challenges as before. But, you know, we've worked through a lot of different things. It's a very much of a growing experience for everybody involved.
Yeah, I agree. I think the turning point for us, or the part where things started to settle in, was when we actually did get married. And there was something about that for the kids that really just seemed to make everything come together for them, and they found everything easier to deal with. But
they probably realized you were not going anywhere at that point.
Well, and to them, there was something about the wedding. You know, we actually included them in the wedding ceremony, and there was a part of the ceremony where I promised to love and care for them just like their dad. And I became family in their mind. Something about going through the ceremony and being able to call me their stepmom. And, you know, they still call me Susan, but, you know, I had a role, a defined role that was easier for them. You know, they were 12 at that time. And I think it just settled everything down for them. So it was a good turning point, not turning point, because we weren't in a bad place, but it was a good settling in for all of us to move forward. But one of the things that can be difficult when you have steps and you have new spouses and you're post-divorce is now when the children are going back and forth between the two households, when they're with one parent who's remarried, that parent isn't the, you know, they're in a household where they're not just with their parent. So that parent isn't the only one getting quality time with them. Now they're with their step-parent as well. And there were times actually when, like, my husband would be traveling, it was his parenting time. So the kids were actually with me, not with their dad, even though it was his parenting time. And that took a little getting used to for everybody, I think, as well.
Well, and especially from the other side perspective, you know, like when my kids were going to my ex-husband's house and, you know, he had a new significant other. And I mean, for me, it was fine. But I know that for a lot of people, they don't necessarily like the new significant other, or they're afraid that the new significant other is not treating their children well, or maybe that the parent is not paying enough attention to the kids. Like, you know, now you're spending time with this new person. You should be spending time with the children. You should be paying attention to the children and not spending time with this new person. You know, what's that all about? That can be difficult, especially if you don't think that that new person is treating your children well. That's really, really difficult.
Yeah, I think that's for clients, definitely. I have seen that be a very difficult hurdle to get over, is that understanding that their ex has the right to involve a new person in their children's lives, and that they really have no say over who their ex picks and what you know, what interaction this new third party, this new significant other for their ex has with their children. And that can be really gut-wrenchingly difficult for clients.
Yeah, and from a legal perspective, by the way, just because your spouse gets remarried or has a new girlfriend, it doesn't give you grounds to change the parenting plan. And, you know, I've had a lot of people ask me about that, and that's not grounds to change a parenting plan, unless the new significant other is a permanent fixture and is, you know, harming the children in some way.
Yeah. They're a major drug addict or a known child sex offender or something, you know, where truly they represent a potential harm to your children. That's very hard for parents to accept. I've had that conversation with many, many clients who come over and say, and it's even things along the lines of, well, they don't, you know, make sure the kids do their homework. And so the kids come back and their homework's not done, or they let them stay up later. The rules in the other household are different than the rules in my household.
And that happens. That happens even without new people sometimes.
Right.
But it's even worse when somebody else is now trying to dictate what happens with your kids. It's infuriating. But you just have to understand that there's really not a whole lot you can do about it from a legal perspective. One of the things you can do is try to, you know, maybe mediate or agree upon certain contractual things about the involvement of the step or whatever. But, you know, if the person's not going to agree to it, then there's really no legal basis for a court to order anything with regard to steps at all, unless there's some kind of danger to the children.
Yeah. One thing I've seen people agree to in mediation more often than in litigation. But in mediation, often parents will agree that they won't introduce these new significant others to the children for either a certain time period or until a certain time that they, as parents, jointly decide that it's a good time to do that or an appropriate time. I have seen people come to that agreement in the, you know, in furthering the children's best interests.
I think it's a good idea. You know, like you had said, you had had that case where the guy's like, here's your new mommy. And then new mommy didn't even end up being new mommy. She ended up
new
being
mommy
out of the picture, like before the divorce was even final.
It was. I mean, as a divorce attorney, as a mediator, I always have cautioned clients about introducing new people, a person as a new significant other to their children's lives. It's just something you need to know, that is a stable relationship that's going to be around for a while before you bring that third party into your children's lives.
Sure, for sure.
Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve your family law matter peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com. Also, make sure to download your free meditation at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free meditation. Coming up, more from Rebecca and Susan on X's and Steps, how to deal with third-party interference in divorce.
I've got people who have co-parented really well with their ex. They've been doing well. They've been managing to, you know, despite high emotions perhaps, but managing to really put their kids' needs first. But then one of them will get involved with a significant other, and the significant other's viewpoint gets inserted into the communication between the parents.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can hear Rebecca and Susan discuss more topics on divorce in depth, including the insider's secret to seamless co-parenting with Michael Daniels, the creator of the Fairer Parenting app.
Unbelievable how much time it was wasted and how much money was wasted, and the amount of time I spent in a very anxious state of mind. It really prevented me from being the best version of myself for my children. And I think that's what I lament the most, is my inability to live in the moment and be my best me. I think my children, in some cases, just they missed out, and I missed out on that. So, you know, Fair was my sincere effort in fixing a very big problem.
And now we return to today's show.
The other issue with the other household sometimes is mixing steps together. You know, like both of the new significant others have their own set of children. And one of the things that people have a tendency to want to do is have the parenting plans match up. And it's very tempting to say, let's have all the kids together. And then that way, when we don't have kids, then we have time alone. But now you're mixing all the kids together. They don't necessarily get along with each other. Now the kids have to deal with not only a new significant other, but these other new people in their space, these other kids. And they may not necessarily mix well. And then the new significant other probably favors their own children over, you know, your children. And I've also heard horror stories of, you know, the new stepkids, one set is bullying the other, or even worse, I've actually had cases where, you know, the 16-year-old boy molested the 12-year-old girl. And then what do you do? Now you have to try to figure out how to make sure they never see each other again.
See each other. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's one of those cases where the court's going to enter some orders for the safety and best interests of the child. But I've had clients who have come in and wanted to move to modify their parenting plan because they've gotten involved with a new significant other who has children. And the sole reason they want to change their parenting plan is so that it matches up with their new significant other's parenting plan.
Yeah.
Just that situation you're talking about. And I've said that's not necessarily, you know, the goal or the overriding concept that a court's looking at is what's in the best interest of your children when they
right.
meet, when
and,
there's
and
a motion it, to modify. That's not necessarily what's in your children's best interest, as you just said.
Absolutely. And I know it's tempting, especially if you've been in an unhappy relationship for a very long time and you're like, this is my time and I'm ready and I want to be happy and I deserve to be happy and all, that's all great. But your children didn't ask to be born. They didn't, you know, get to pick who their parents are. And so, you know, I would just caution a bit against having your happiness come at the price of your children and their lives. And this is the only childhood that they get. And, you know, so don't compromise your quality time with your children.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really important point for people to, you know, just keep in mind that your parenting time with your children is something that's really a priority. And you have to balance the wants and needs of your new significant other against really the primary concern, which is your children's best interests. You know, and another way that new significant others can become an issue, or that I've seen them become an issue, is, and this is always, you know, something sad to see, but very common, is I've got people who have co-parented really well with their ex. They've been doing well. They've been managing to, you know, despite high emotions perhaps, but managing to really put their kids' needs first. But then one of them will get involved with a significant other, and the significant other's viewpoint gets inserted into the communication between the parents.
Yeah, and that can really be a problem, especially, you know, maybe in mediation or negotiations, because now it becomes about, I have to prove that I love my new spouse more than my old spouse. And if I give in to my old spouse, my new spouse is going to think that I love that other person, or I'm giving in to that other person. So I have to prove my love by not giving in. And yeah, that is not necessarily what might be the best thing for you or for your children or your life.
So it can often, you know, be a detriment to the entire process. And, you know, there's just a new dynamic when your new person or your ex-spouse's new significant other becomes involved in your communication. You know, I had a case where my client was not a particularly, he had a difficult time communicating in writing, in emails and all of that. But because it was a contentious situation, emails were required rather than discussions. So his new wife started writing all of his emails for him to his ex-wife, but signing his name. But it was really clear that he wasn't the one writing them.
Oh, they were, and written, that is just so infuriating to the other person, because they're like, I know he didn't write this, or I know this didn't come from her.
You know. And that's all that the ex-wife was paying attention to. She wasn't paying attention to the content. They were better written. They did say what you know he wanted said, but the ex-wife wasn't even hearing it.
It's just a waste of your time. If you really want the other person to hear what you're saying, then say it in a way from yourself that, you know, the other person's actually going to listen and you'll be heard. Otherwise, you're just wasting your time. The other issue is, and this is for both mediation and for attorney, is privilege issues. And, you know, just remember that there's a couple of different privileges in mediation, but then there's also the attorney-client privilege. And the privilege for you and your attorney only extends between you and your attorney. So if your new spouse or new girlfriend or new significant other, whoever it is talking to your attorney or sitting in on the meetings with your attorney or emailing with your attorney, all of that is discoverable. All of that can come right out in depositions or whatever. And I've actually had that happen. I had a guy who brought his significant other with him to meet with me. Somehow the opposing attorney knew that she was coming and deposed her and said, have you met with so-and-so and his attorney? What did they talk about? What did she tell him? What did he tell her? You know, and that's all discoverable. So
absolutely. I've had the exact same thing happen. And in that case, thankfully, I had warned the client ahead of time. I had them sign off that they understood, but they were still shocked when the other attorney brought her in for the deposition. And keep in mind, what you've done now is you've involved your new significant other in the actual litigation. They're getting hauled in for a deposition, being asked questions under oath in your divorce action or in a post-dissolution, that one was a post-dissolution matter. And, you know, that's the new relationships can be, you know, every relationship has its challenges. Do you really want to add that challenge to your new relationship?
Well, they can really impede the process during mediation sometimes too. And by the way, the mediator has the ability to ask people to leave if they think that somebody is impeding the process. And I had that happen to me one time. I had a husband who brought his new wife, and she was screaming at people and just being generally difficult. And the mediator said, I am asking you to leave, and threw her out because she wasn't helpful.
As a mediator, I just don't allow, unless the parties agree that they are going to have one or both of their new significant others present, I just don't allow it because it's not helpful. Maybe they can be present in another place. Even when I was doing litigation cases, I always suggested to my clients that they not bring their significant other to the court hearings unless they were necessary, because all it does is inflame an already difficult situation.
Yeah, no, I had a case one time where my client was actually difficult and his new wife was actually the sane one and made it easier. So, you know, sometimes it can be easier, but most of the time it makes it worse.
From the effect, I mean, that's a case where the new significant other's effect on your own client was good, on one of the parties, but almost universally, it's not taken well by the ex-spouse. You know, this is, I mean, really at its core, you may be the new significant other or you may have a new significant other, but the issues between you and your ex-spouse are really still issues just between the two of you.
Yeah. Now, there can be issues with regard to new adult children. I've had situations, but one in particular sticks out in my mind where a woman came to me to do her prenuptial agreement, and she was older, I think maybe in her 60s or 70s, and both of them had adult children, but his adult children in particular didn't like her. They were wary of her. They thought maybe that she was going to end up taking their inheritance. And she just didn't know how to deal with them. And I used to tell her, you know, just send them white light and, you know, pray for their peace of mind. And, you know, because all you can do is control yourself. You can't control anybody other than yourself.
Well, and when you try, you almost always make the situation worse.
Right. But, you know, make sure that your spouse is going to be on board with supporting you and not taking the side of their children or whatever. I mean, because that can be extremely difficult.
Well, that's touchy for the spouse, right? That's touchy for the parent of the adult children because they're now walking that tightrope again, right? Because they have adult children.
And I've been there.
Yeah, well, and I've seen, you know, many a client go there, and it is a difficult situation. You know, another one that comes to mind that I want to mention is where, and this happens mainly in litigation cases, but where you have a family member, usually the parents, but a family member paying for the attorney's services. Mm-hmm. So they are, right? So you've got mom or dad paying the attorney for their son or daughter to get divorced. And then because of that, the parent who's paying feels they have a say in the underlying litigation and what's going on. And that can be really difficult.
Yeah, especially if you don't agree with what they want you to do. You know, maybe they want you to settle and you don't want to settle, or they want you to keep fighting and you don't want to, you want to settle. You know, that can be really, really difficult. And I know we're running short on time. There's so much more that we wanted to talk about, but one of the things I just want to make sure we say is listening to too many people, like pregnancy. You know, I had a client who called me up one time who said, I have a friend who has a friend who is a paralegal in Maine, and they want to know why you're not doing X, Y, Z.
Yeah. Oh my God, I've gotten that phone call.
And I think, well, maybe you should go hire the paralegal in Maine, because obviously they could get a better result for you.
Well, and or it's the my best friend got divorced and she's getting $20,000 a month in alimony. Why am I not getting that? And it could be as simple as your ex doesn't even make $20,000 a month.
Yeah.
But, you know, that is a big caution for listeners, I think, is listen, you know, you hired your divorce attorney or you hired your mediator, hopefully because you trust them and you trust the advice. You know, it's attorney and counselor at law, and they're there to give you advice and explain the law to you. Listen to them and understand that they're giving you advice based upon their knowledge and their many years of experience in the field. Friends and family are well-meaning and well-intentioned. They're there to, you know, they want to support you, but that is not their role in all of this. Get a hug, have them hand you a tissue when you're crying, whatever, you know, you need emotional support, but don't get your direction or your advice legally from third parties, even if they've been through it. Everyone's divorce is different. The facts of every case are different. Even, you know, I could be representing a client and that client could say, I don't really think Susan and I are working out, and go interview Rebecca. And that client will tell Rebecca what they understand their case to be. That may or may not be factually correct or legally the correct understanding. So, you know, even when you're hearing it or you're telling your own story, realize that there are many nuances to every divorce case, and the best person to listen to is the person that you hired to help you from a legal perspective.
Yeah, and I would actually just add to that, that especially for women, your soon-to-be ex-husband will try to tell you that your lawyer is not giving you good advice because, of course, you know, your lawyer might be saying, hey, you have a claim for alimony or whatever. And so your soon-to-be ex might go, oh, they're giving you terrible advice. Don't listen to them. They're just trying to charge you money. You know, they're just trying to drive up the fees. Don't necessarily trust that, please.
Well, or the person, I love that. So many people these days, you know, everything's out there on the internet. Everything's a Google search away. And so I have people all of the time who have gone and done their legal research online about a legal issue. And, you know, keep in mind, and my friend of mine who's an attorney has a mug that says, don't confuse your Google search for my law degree. So, you know.
Oh, I love that.
I need that mug.
Fantastic.
But it's true.
Awesome.
You know, it's like getting your medical diagnosis online from, you know, from WebMD or whatever those things are.
For sure.
Keep in mind, you know, your attorney, this is what they do. This is what they've been doing. If you're like Rebecca and I, they've been doing this for decades. And so they know what they're talking about. You should be listening to them, not
anybody
to what
else
you read necessarily. Yeah, not anybody else.
Yeah.
Especially the third parties, because, you know, the decisions that need to be made are the ones that you and your ex alone need to live with. Yes, it's going to impact other people perhaps, but this is your life. This is the life of your children.
And make sure you have healthy boundaries. I mean, that's kind of the moral of the story, is healthy boundaries.
Yeah, we've talked about using BIF, which is the keep your interaction with your ex-spouse brief, informative, friendly, and firm. And, you know, we recently had a show with the co-parenting app FAIR, F-A-Y-R. And, you know, I'm just going to, again, encourage anyone out there co-parenting with an ex to consider using that, because—
And listen to our episode with Michael Daniels.
Yes, yes. The insider secret to seamless co-parenting, because, you know, co-parenting is difficult, especially when you have these situations that we're talking about where you have, you know, step families, new significant others, difficult times with your ex. So do everything you can to keep it simple. Try, you know, try BIF, try FAIR. We'll put this information again in the show notes for our listeners.
So the moral of the story is, if you want to move on and have a new beginning and a new future, healthy boundaries for all potential third-party interference, X's or steps.
Yes. By doing the things that we've talked about here, you might actually become happily divorced.
Thank you for joining us today on Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve your family law matter peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert, Scott Picard, at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free meditation.
Check back next Monday for our next edition of our powerful, inspirational, and educational podcast. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please remember to give us a 5-star rating and let us know what you liked in a review on iTunes.
And remember, you're just one step away from your new life.